As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Jesus answered,
neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind, so that the works of God might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
go walk and wash in the pool of Siloam.
Which means sent. He went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, some were saying, others were saying, and he kept saying,
I am the man.
But they kept asking him, and he answered,
the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went, I washed, and recovered my sight.
They said to him,
where is he?
He said,
I do not know.
So they brought to the Pharisees this man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. The Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said, but others said, and they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, and he said,
he's a prophet.
The Jews did not believe that he'd been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, and his parents answered,
we know that this is our son, yeah, and that he is born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who will do us. Ask him, he is a fish, he will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, so, for the second time, the Pharisees called the man who'd been blind, and they said to him, he answered,
I do not know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, I was blind. Now I see.
They said to him, and he answered them,
I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why don't you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
Then they reviled him, saying, and the man answered,
here is the astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. He opened my eyes, and we know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. And I was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
But they answered him, and they drove him out. Jesus heard that he'd been driven out of the synagogue, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
And he answered,
"And who is he, sir? Tell me, so I may believe in him."
"You have seen him, and the one who is speaking to you is he."
And he said,
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshiped him. And Jesus said,
"I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see will become blind."
Now some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, and Jesus said to them,
"If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But since you say, 'We see,' your sins still remain."
The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It's kind of hard to applaud the ending of that, isn't it? Well, in him was life, and the light was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. From the very first chapter of this Gospel of John, this image of Jesus, light of the world, is up there in light, so to speak, right? So it should be no surprise when Jesus' second miracle in the Gospel of John is about light in our darkness. And it's such a central theme. What a story, hey? Isn't this incredible? Just look at this, you know. On the surface, it's simply about a man born blind whose sight is miraculously restored by Jesus at the Pool of Siloam. And he sees. But his witnesses, time and again in this story, regardless of the response, his response to them is, "I was blind, but now I see." Even in the face of the skepticism of the Pharisees and the fear of the parents there in this scene, he continues to just repeat this over and over again, his witness. "I was blind, and now I see." Can you imagine what an incredible network news frenzy this would have caused if they had network news in those days? Depending on the new network, of course, the focus would be different. One network, the lead story might be like this: "Miraculous man, miraculous healing of blind man." Another one, probably NPR, would say, "A study on messiahs." You know? Or there might be, home shopping network, and that goes like this: "You too can be healed with mud and spit. Get all your information on this network for $9.99. Within the next 12 hours, if you sign up now, we'll give you our 350-page of homeopathic remedies for lumbago and indigestion and arthritis and gout," right? While the official Jewish news service would probably have said, "Man pretending to be Messiah fakes a healing of a blind man, and on the Sabbath besides." "I am the light of the world," Jesus says, huh? That's the good news in this thing. Resistance from the status quo and resistance from within each of us, notwithstanding, Jesus, the light of the world, brings a new way of seeing. Huh? Kind of like Dorothy, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, who had a rather bleak world of black and white, incredibly transformed to full technicolor for the first film in history. A new way of seeing, huh? Or how many of you have seen this old image? How many of you can see an old woman? Okay, how many of you see a young woman? How many of you can see both? Okay, some of you have seen this before. It's interesting, isn't it? It's your perspective in terms of what we can see. Just like the glass half empty or half full. You know, it's a way of seeing, a new way of seeing. As Ben Franklin said between the end of British rule on this continent and in the colonies and the forming of the new American government. And you know, we might ask the same question for ourselves in this transition of leadership in this country. How do you distinguish between a sunrise and a sunset? A new way of seeing, huh? And you know, by the way, it might be interesting what eyes we might see if we started praying for those we disagree with politically. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be interesting to see what happens if we start praying for those we disagree with? A new way of seeing? I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Good news, yet every one of us, even the most faithful of Christians, can be susceptible to blindness. Just like the Pharisees, who blessed their hearts, couldn't see God at work in Jesus' healing of this blind man. All they can do is focus on the breaking of the rules. You know the term blind spots? If you have ever been in driver's ed, you've probably heard it a lot. Because there's this place in your field of vision between what you can see out your window and what your rear view mirror will show you, side view mirror will show you. That's just a blind spot. You just can't see anything there. And so you have to be extra careful, right? Unless maybe somebody else is there to point it out to you, to tell you what you're not seeing. And of course, guys just love it when somebody points out what they can't see when they're driving, right? But certainly, the reform of the church 500 years ago in Germany that we're celebrating this year was about blind spots, wasn't it? And a new way of seeing. When Luther proclaimed, you don't need a priest or a saint to pray for you to God anymore, you can pray directly to God through Jesus Christ yourself. And bless their hearts, the established church said, no, that's not how it is. You have to come through the church to talk to God. You have to come through the church to receive the sacraments. To go to heaven, you got to come through us. And bless their hearts, the Roman church leaders, in their illusion that it was their job to control the dispensing of God's grace, they themselves are left blind to the very grace that they thought they had to control. Well, miracles kept happening over these 500 years. And even in 1990, you know what happened? The Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church together came up with a joint statement called the Declaration on Justification by Grace. That we really are in agreement on grace as being the heart of our faith. Wow! And now maybe you heard last week, Pope Francis is even talking about the possibility of married priests. New way of seeing for them. And then for us, because you know what? We Protestants, we have to admit, we can't see our blind spots either. For instance, if theirs are communal, ours are more likely our blind spot, our missing out on God's grace place, comes from this me and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus. My faith is between me and Jesus. It's nobody else's business. So I don't have to be part of a church to be a Christian. I can do it on my own, right? Because you know what? The church is full of hypocrites anyway. And you know what I say to that? Well, you ought to come and join us because there's always room for one more hypocrite. You know, we're all hypocrites. We say one thing and do another, right? Well, when that's how we see it, it's between me and Jesus, we've got this blind spot to God's gift of Christian community where fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, can join each other and share with each other, support each other, and confront each other and help us see what we're not seeing in our own lives and in the world around us, right? And we miss out on this incredible weekly gathering where we are privileged to hear God's word of grace and share in his supper, that weekly tangible sign of God's love for us sinners, all of us, Jesus, the light of the world, in community, bringing us constantly, progressively into new ways of seeing things that we just cannot see on our own. You know, there's a lot of humor in this gospel reading and the whole gospel of John. I don't know if you caught some of it. But I think it's also good when, you know, preachers tell jokes on themselves, and if we don't, you'll tell them on us anyway, so that's fine. But they can be so revealing of our blind spots. Some of you remember Ann Seedy, who was our interim director of worship in the arts back in 2012. And Pastor Jennifer and I were concerned with all the music she was planning for worship because we weren't having as much time to preach, you know. And so I went to Ann. I said, Ann, you know, we've got to cut back a little bit on the music because we need more time to preach. And she said, Gary, let me tell you something. Nobody ever went home from church humming the sermon. Blind spots, light of Christ, Ann Seedy. By the way, one of the church council's goals for this year is to take a look at our tight morning schedule, and who knows, maybe there will be some new ways of seeing worship and faith formation and how we do that on Sundays. I don't know. Here's another one. Joe Sittler was a professor at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, and in his 80s even, he was completely blind by that time. I heard him give his first lecture on a book he was writing called Gravity and Grace. And he shared the story of his early ministry in the mid-30s. He was in a little small country church, and a family had a daughter who had given birth to a child out of wedlock. And you know what we called children in those days who were born out of wedlock? Illegitimate child, right? As if any child could ever be illegitimate. But that's what they were called. So anyway, this family left a message at the office saying they wanted to meet with Pastor Sittler, about having the baby baptized because they were going to keep the baby. And he was at home and fuming and pacing, and how could they do this to me? Do you realize how the church council is going to blow up when they hear something like this? I can't do it. I can't not do it. What am I going to do? And with all his ranting going on, his wife finally said to him, oh, Joseph, shut up. It's such a small baby. Blind spots, huh? Or this one. You know the hymn Amazing Grace, everybody knows that, right? We just sang it at Mike's funeral yesterday, written over 200 years ago by John Newton. And guess what? Right after the sermon and stuff, Austin Hunt will be directing his choral arrangement of his first arrangement of Amazing Grace. You're going to get to hear it for the first time in history. Cool. Well, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, was a British slave captain, a slave trading ship captain in the mid-1700s, and in the middle of a violent storm at sea, he was converted to Jesus Christ, and his ship was saved, and he reported that upon his conversion, he immediately gave up drinking, gambling, and swearing, and he stuck with that the rest of his life. Over time, he started reading the Bible more, and he ended up going to seminary and becoming an Anglican priest in a small parish in England. And during that time, he was writing hymn after hymn. He was a very musical guy. He wrote wonderful hymns. But you know what? Even with that conversion to Christ, it took him 30 more years before he was able to see how complicit he was in the sin of slavery, that he had participated in that violent, inhuman practice by his own trading of slaves. And when the awful truth came to him finally in those 30 years, he had this incredible remorse, and then when he felt the forgiveness of God, he wrote this hymn. You can sing it with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. You know, the Alcoholics Anonymous calls that their national anthem even. It's so well known. Well, are you and I any different from the Pharisees that day? Or from the slave trading ship captain, John Newton, with our blind spots? You know, I think God has to have a sense of humor about us all the time, don't you think? I can imagine God rolling God's eyes up there at yet another place where we just didn't get it. Bless our hearts. God's grace, we just didn't get it. Places we couldn't see without the light of Christ shining in our lives. But that light is going to keep coming into the world, coming into our lives, day after day, week after week, year after year, so that we can see light in the world in places we hadn't seen it before, light in our lives where we hadn't seen it before. Because like the blind man, and like John Newton, the slave trader, and all the saints at all times, we are not given our sight just for our own delight. We're given our sight so we can witness to the world to bring the light of Christ into other dark and oppressive places in this world. By sharing our witness. Sing it with me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Free indeed, huh?